KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have mostly clear skies at 64 degrees, and we're looking for partly cloudy skies today with a high of 82. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen of the Check of Area and State News. A third flooding and cleanup are taking a toll on people who operate some small businesses along Iowa Highway 2 in southwest Iowa. They heavily rely on Interstate 29 traffic and on travelers being able to make across the Missouri Bridge over to Nebraska, but the Iowa roadways leading to their mercantile community were covered with water, and the businesses were inundated in mid-March after levees gave way. They were flooded again in late May after heavy rains and the upstream water releases by the Army Corps of Engineers. Most of the businesses had been operating when the floods occurred in 2011. The Lincoln Journal-Star reports that Alicia Crustile doesn't see herself returning to her Finders Keepers Antique Mall along the highway south of Percival, Iowa. She's gone through two floods, but says the third time, I'm out. Audubon Police Chief Matt Starmer reports four arrests took place over the past 2 weeks. On July 17th, as the result of a search warrant, 30-year-old Mark Thomas Holland of Audubon was arrested on charges that include possession of a controlled substance and possession of drug paraphernalia. Holland was transported to the Audubon County Jail to appear before a magistrate. On July 20th, 40-year-old Joshua Robert Saunders of Audubon was arrested on charges of burglary in the second degree in violation of a no-contact order. Saunders was arrested and transported to the Audubon County Jail to appear before a magistrate. July 24th, Audubon police arrested 63-year-old Ronald Allen Seidelman of Audubon. Seidelman was taken into custody on a Harrison County arrest warrant and transferred to the Harrison County Sheriff's Office. And last Friday, 71-year-old Ruby Louise Donahue of Audubon was arrested for allowing a dog to run at large. Donahue was issued a citation on the scene and subsequently released on a promise to appear in court. The Creston Police Department reports a Ringgold County woman was arrested Friday afternoon. 34-year-old Tashina Martwick of Redding was arrested at the Union County Courthouse on a Union County warrant for charge of controlled substance violation. Martwick was additionally charged with possession of a controlled substance second offense. She was being held in the Adams County Jail on a $27,000 cash-only bond. Authorities say firefighters rescued a 4-year-old girl from a Waterloo apartment fire. Firefighters who responded to a report around 7:50 p.m. Saturday found the girl inside the smoke-filled apartment. She was taken to a hospital for treatment of smoke inhalation. Her name hasn't been released, and fire officials say the blaze started after food was left unattended while being cooked. To help address the current emergency blood shortage, all who come to give blood or blood platelets to the American Red Cross between now and August 29th will receive a $5 Amazon.com gift card via email. Currently, the Red Cross says they have less than a 3-day supply of most blood types available and less than a 2-day supply of type O blood. You can schedule an appointment to give now by activating Amazon's Alexa Red Cross Blood skill by saying, Alexa, find a blood drive, or by using the Red Cross Blood Donor app, visiting redcrossblood.org or calling 1-800-RED-CROSS. With the help of a generous $1 million donation from Amazon, the Red Cross hopes to motivate donors to roll up a sleeve and alleviate the blood shortage across the country. Amazon's partnership with the Red Cross is part of their commitment to right now needs to help increase blood donations to ensure patients' needs are met. The Red Cross urges individuals across the country to roll up a sleeve today to ensure that blood is available for patients across the country. A blood donation takes about an hour from start to finish, but the actual donation itself only takes about 8 to 10 minutes. And donors can save up to 15 minutes at the blood drive by completing a rapid pass. With rapid pass, donors complete the pre-donation reading and health history questionnaire online on the day of the donation from a mobile device or computer. To complete a rapid pass, follow the instructions at redcrossblood.org/rapid pass or use the Red Cross Blood Donor app. To donate blood, individuals need to bring a blood donor card or driver's license or two other forms of identification that are required at check-in. Persons who are 17 years of age in most states or 16 with parental consent were allowed, weigh in at least 110 pounds, or generally in good health, may be eligible to donate blood. High school students and other donors 18 years of age and younger also must meet certain height and weight requirements. You can view the upcoming list of blood donation location, dates, and times under the same story on the news page at KJAN.com. Sports gambling will take a final step toward becoming a reality tomorrow during a special meeting of the Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission. Commissioner Administrator Brian Orilko said that regulators will take a vote on the emergency rules.
This is the same package that was commented on back on July 11th. There were a few changes made as a result of those comments and public input. but the package continues to evolve, and at this point, it'll be considered for emergency adoption.
The only comments at that July 11th public hearing were from gambling and sports betting representatives, as no one from the general public made comments. Orielko says the emergency adoption allows things to be set in motion.
The commission will need to go through the standard rulemaking process before anything will be in final form. And so it's reasonable to expect that the package that is being voted on Tuesday could change as the rules go through the normal process.
And he says that the earliest Iowa's 19 casinos could take bets would be the middle of next month.
On this emergency package, there is language indicating that the rules would be effective on July 30th, with wagering and contests beginning no earlier than August 15th at noon.
The casinos can offer online wagering or take sports bets at their facilities. He says the casinos have rapidly been working to build the sports book areas, but some may not be ready right at the deadline.
We know one will not be ready for sure, and then it will depend on the others in terms of how the construction is coming along and if they're ready to go at each of the sites.
Orielko says most of the casinos are shooting for an opening of their on-site sports betting parlors near the end of the month.
I think the goal for most of the properties is to be up and running before football season. And so the August 15th date really isn't maybe as critical for those companies, although those that are ready to go on that date will be able to kind of dip their toe in the water a bit and start accepting wagers on baseball and other sports.
The casinos can create their own betting apps or team with a company that will provide them. Orielko said the apps include the ability to know the user's location, and the online betting will not work unless a geolocation provider can identify that the person is located within the state of Iowa. The special meeting tomorrow is at 10 a.m. at the Drury Inn and Suites in West Des Moines. Elsewhere in state news, Democratic presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg says his party must quit giving President Trump the power to change the subject with a simple tweet.
At every turn, he's got us talking about him more and talking about us less.
Buttigieg made his comments about 12 hours before President Trump's tweets attacking a black congressman from Baltimore for not doing enough to improve what Trump described as a dangerous and filthy place. According to Buttigieg, Trump's Twitter attacks on a group of House Democrats earlier last week diverted attention from the push to raise minimum wage, which Buttigieg supports. Buttigieg says Democrats have to respond to Trump's wrongdoing and promote the party's agenda at the same time.
We're the ones trying to get you a raise. We're the ones trying to protect you in the workplace. We're the ones trying to make sure that your health care is not taken away. We're the ones who are going to actually deliver things like paid family leave. If you look at this from the perspective of how your life will change, there is no question that the Democratic agenda is the better one. It's exactly why he needs us talking about his latest offensive tweet so that we're not talking about that.
Former San Antonio Mayor Julian Castro also campaigned in the state this past weekend. He accused Trump of stoking division, fear, and bigotry with tweets Castro described as disgusting.
This is more of the race baiting and racial priming that this president loves to do and that is wrong for this country.
Castro spoke Saturday morning to the Iowa Latino and Asian Coalition.
The question that we face in this next election is whether we're going to continue to be a country that expands opportunity for everybody, no matter what you look like or how much money you have or don't have or where you live in our country, in a big city or a small town, or we're going to give in to a dark call from this administration.
Castro visited the Meskwaki settlement near Tama Friday, promising to address housing, policing, and economic issues in tribal communities. Buttigieg spoke to a crowd of about 900 in Ankeny Friday afternoon, outlining ideas for expanding union bargaining rights. He says also Americans in the so-called gig economy, who work as a freelancer or contractor rather than a full-time employee, should get benefits like sick leave.
And it comes down to this basic idea, that a contractor is a worker, and a gig is a job.
Colorado Senator Michael Bennett campaigned in the state Saturday, emphasizing his call to keep private insurance, but added a public option to the Affordable Care Act so Americans could buy into the Medicare system. And the University of Nebraska Medical Center has received a five-year, $3.7 million grant to address the looming shortage of doctors who specialize in care of older adults. U.S. Health Resources Service Administration estimates a need for 33,200 geriatricians in the U.S. by the year 2025, around 27,000 more than the current projected supply of 6,200. The medical school says a way to solve the problem is to expand the access of primary care professionals to resources that aid them in treating the older adults' complex health issues. The grant will provide education to teams including physicians, nurses, nurse practitioners, physician assistants, mental health professionals, and social workers. The idea is to care for patients as a team when they're sick, but also keep them well. That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.